Good evening to each of you, and we greet you in Jesus' name this evening. It is a blessing to be gathered with fellow travelers on the pathway of life. And while we meet in a different area, and we live, well, in my case, an hour to the east, we still serve the same Lord, we still serve the same God, and I believe our goals are the same, to finally make it into the presence of the Heavenly Father. I bring you greetings from the other Shade Mountain this evening. That is our home congregation. Even though, as Marcus said, we live over at Sunbury, we're about 20 miles east of our church yet. And I had to think, just sitting here, all of a sudden came to my memory that maybe a few of you folks remember when Brother Leroy Bear had revivals here in about, I'm not sure, 96 maybe? It was right after we moved into out of Lebanon County over to Sunbury, and I know some of us came out to support Brother Leroy, but I can't say that I remember much else about that experience other than that I was here at that time. I remember that. For a message this evening, I would like to look at a subject that I have titled Spiritual Hypothermia. Now, we have all read stories of those who, for one reason or another, found themselves attempting to survive in an extremely cold climate. I'm sure that you have read accounts of individuals, mountain climbers, who faced the cold, the crippling cold, beyond what we can survive. I'm sure you've read stories of Arctic explorers. Maybe they were stranded or injured. They may have withstood attacks from wild animals or overcome other severe hardships only to be faced with enduring the cold. They became exhausted. Their senses became dull and their reflexes slow. These individuals no longer feel the cold. They begin to feel very comfortable. They begin to feel very drowsy. Their desire is to just go to sleep. The thought of a short rest is very enticing. And I am sure, if you're like I am, that if you have read these types of accounts, that you have become so engrossed in the story that you find yourself just willing that individual to stay awake, to keep walking, because you know the results. You understand if they lay down in those conditions and doze off, they will never wake up. They will sleep to death. I came across a story that is very, very challenging illustration of that. There is a story of a vessel discovered many years ago among the icebergs of the Arctic Ocean, with their captain frozen as he was making his last entry in the logbook. The crew were discovered, some in their hammocks and some in the cabin, all frozen to death. The last date in the logbook showed that for 13 years, that vessel had been moving among the icebergs. It was a drifting sepulcher manned by a frozen crew. And we understand what happened. They lost a battle with the cold. They dozed off and they slept to death. The question at the end of that little account says this: are there not churches in a like condition? And that's the challenge that we want to look at this evening. We know that the condition that we have been describing is called hypothermia. And as tragic as such a situation is, spiritual hypothermia is far more serious, with eternally more tragic results. As Christians, we must acknowledge, like those mountain climbers or Arctic explorers, our pathway lies through a cold, dark world. The dangers are many and varied. We face them. One hand, the terror of the devil as a roaring lion. We face the subtle half-truths of his deception as an angel of light. We face the choking effects of legitimate legitimate cares. As I thought of that the choking effect of legitimate cares. You know, we have our homes, our families, our businesses, our responsibility, good things, but they can choke us, and they can cause us to become drowsy and to begin to drift off. At times the pressures seem to be too much, and the temptation comes to simply relax and doze off. Our endurance gives way. But as we looked at in the natural sense, the tragedy is that once asleep, one may never awake, and sleep then becomes eternal death. You see, hypothermia is subnormal body temperature, which is the reason for the dulled senses, the slow reflexes, and the comfortable drowsy feeling. Spiritual hypothermia this evening is a subnormal soul temperature, which in turn dulls the spiritual sensitivity, when we see someone slipping into this condition, I trust we desperately will them to come to their senses. I think we all understand that as we watch someone cooling off, slowly drifting into a state of drowsiness. We desperately will them to come to their senses before they drift into eternal death. This evening, the scripture uses a different word to indicate a subnormal soul temperature. The scripture uses the word lukewarm. And I would like to turn to Revelation chapter 3 for a message this evening, a challenge to, yes, each of us individually, because as each of us keep our vitality and alertness together, we then can have a church that is alert and awake. Revelation chapter 3, we start with verse 14. And as we read this passage from the book of Revelation, just try to remember those opening scenes from those individuals that faced the extreme cold of the climate in which they found themselves stranded. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Can you picture with me this church? We aren't told what all they had endured. They may have endured persecution, maybe other severe trials, but finally, the cold, dark world was wearing away at their endurance. They were comfortable, they were satisfied, and they were spiritually drowsy. Their soul temperature was below normal, and they were in grave danger of sleeping away to eternal death. And we see Jesus calling out to this church. He comes and he says, "I know thy works." He's calling out to them. He's trying to make them aware of their condition. Trying to make them aware that they were in grave spiritual danger. Maybe we could say he was shaking them awake, as one would if you discovered someone in a very cold climate, sleeping away. This Jesus is described in chapter 1, verse 14, as having eyes as a flame of fire, indicating his piercing gaze that can accurately assess man's condition. You know, for those who may be struggling and maybe living in defeat, maybe hiding something, those those words in Revelation 1:14 can bring terror, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And yet to those who have fallen before the Lord and have asked for forgiveness and are living right with him, it is a blessing that he is a God, a Savior, that has those piercing eyes, and he can accurately assess man's condition. Why is this condition so repulsive to God? I believe this condition is so repulsive to God because the individual does not sense the needs in their life. Verse 15 says this, I wert that thou wert cold or hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. I believe Jesus says this because on the one hand, the hardened sinner feels a void, feels an emptiness in his life. Hence his reckless pursuit of something to fill that void. And on the other hand, those who are hot and who are faithfully serving the Lord are open to his promptings and desire growth. Either one of those groups of people the Lord can speak to, but those in the middle, the lukewarm, those suffering from spiritual hypothermia are comfortable and satisfied. They do not sense the danger that they are in, or they do not see any need in their life. Amos 6 verse 1 says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. I believe expressing that concern of being too comfortable. As I think of that thought of that comfortableness, that middle ground that Jesus is saying is repulsive to me, I also came across this little account. It's simply titled this, The Devil's Strategy. The devil held a great anniversary at which his emissaries were convened to report the results of their several missions. I let loose the wild beasts of the desert, said one, on a caravan of Christians, and their bones are now bleaching on the sands. What of that, said the devil? Their souls were all saved. Another one said this, For 10 years I tried to get a single Christian asleep. And I finally succeeded and I left him there. Then the devil shouted and the night stars of hell sang for joy. They were more successful with luring a Christian to sleep than they were when they actually took their lives because, as the devil said, their souls were all saved. That is the challenging part of this state of being lukewarm and not realizing our need. Now I would like to look at symptoms of the lukewarm. As we consider this story, this is the Laodicean church. But there are symptoms there that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of personally in our own life. And we need to be aware of as a group, as a church, as part of the body of Christ. What are some of the symptoms of the lukewarm? Number one, the lukewarm are unaware of their condition. And we have mentioned that as we opened this evening. The lukewarm are unaware of their condition. I have need of nothing. They sense no danger. Verse 17, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Number two, another symptom of the lukewarm is arrogance. I think every time I read over this passage, the arrogance of these people stands out more clearly to me. I have need of nothing. I am rich and increased with goods. The arrogance of that statement. All we have comes from our Heavenly Father. And all of us have needs in our spiritual experience. And yet the arrogance that those individuals displayed in that statement. I believe this arrogance probably appalls us as we stop and consider it. And yet, how often do we find that attitude within us? Maybe we wouldn't say it as clearly as they did, but we find that attitude within our heart. And that arrogance is a symptom of a lukewarm condition. Another symptom, number three, is security and wealth. And friends, this evening, that is the challenge that we face because of the land of prosperity and the freedoms that we have. We have more than many people in the world. And we must be careful that we do not find our security in things, in our riches, in our comfortable places to live, and the list goes on. I do not believe it is wrong that we have these things. I believe they can be used for the glory of God, but they can be a place of security, and we can fall into the condition of lukewarmness. Another symptom of the lukewarm, number four, is a love of the world. This is expressed in many different ways. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now notice. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We are faced with a love of the world. We are faced with what the world considers valuable. We face pressures on the world's dress styles. We face pressures on the world's music taste. We face pressures on the entertainment that the world runs after. But a love of the world is an indicator of a lukewarm spiritual condition. Do we set examples as parents? You know, it's easy to see sometimes, and maybe I shouldn't be too hard on young people, but sometimes we say it's easy to see in what they chase after, but what do mom and dad chase after? Do we find our security in what we have and in our farms and in our businesses and in the love of the world around us, just a different aspect? What is the example that we are giving to our children? Another symptom of the lukewarm is careless living. Careless living, just, it doesn't really matter. A carefree attitude, and especially then a careless attitude towards sin. And I believe this pressure is also very real. As we live and move among so-called Christians, I believe the pressure to have a careless attitude towards sin. What about our neighbors who are just living together outside of marriage or divorced, or the list goes on, and we become used to these things and we face these pressures of a careless attitude towards sin? Another symptom of the lukewarm is a laxness in our personal worship. And I appreciated what the brother shared this evening on prayer. It is that connection, that lifeline to our Heavenly Father. But the lukewarm are lax in their personal worship. Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, meditate on the word. Now that is not a direct quote, but meditate on the word day and night. Then it says, observe to do or obey. And the result of that is that thou shalt have good success. Number 7, another symptom of the lukewarm is simply convenient church attendance. Not willing to sacrifice to be at church when there are services. And I understand we all have times when there are legitimate reasons to miss church, but I do not think it should be a part of the vibrant Christian's life. We should be in the house of God when the doors are open and when there's services. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Those are just a number of symptoms of the lukewarm, and I think, as I have said several times, we need to examine ourselves personally, because the church is made up of various people. And as we personally are alive and burning bright for God, then we can have that experience in our congregation as well. Now I would like to look at remedies and preventions. We looked at the condition. We looked at the lukewarm condition, but I would like to look at remedies and preventions. Number one, as I consider a remedy for this condition, I simply pull one word out of verse 22, and that is hear. Verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hear the word. Hear the voice of the Spirit. Hear our brethren. Young people, hear your parents. To truly hear others takes humility. But I believe a remedy for the condition of lukewarmness, to hear, to have open heart, open ears. Number two, another remedy is when we find ourselves in that condition is to repent. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. When we find ourselves cooling off, I believe we need to come to God and ask for His forgiveness. Lord, we are not giving You first place in our lives, and we are sorry, and we intend to do better from here on out. It's repentance. It's a change of direction. But in order to repent, we need to recognize our condition. And I believe we need to see cooling off spiritually as a serious offense to God and a very dangerous condition. And when we find ourselves there, we need to cry out in repentance. We need to ask for renewed desire to serve Him. Number three, another remedy to this condition is we need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. And that word sup has the thought of fellowship. We need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we already heard about prayer this evening, but we need to read His Word to make it a part of our lives. God speaking to us and our communication back to God. As our brother said, in friendships, if there's no communication, the relationship dies out. And that is so true in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we do not maintain the relationship, the communication, there will be no relationship. Diligent Bible study helps us to see ourselves as if we are looking in a mirror. We can see ourselves, we can see our needs, we can see the areas in which we need to improve as we diligently study the Word. A personal relationship with God takes effort and discipline, but it is a sure deterrent to the condition of lukewarmness. Just like we must keep fuel in a fire if we expect it to keep on burning. Number four, another remedy for this condition of lukewarmness is we need to buy genuine materials from Jesus Christ. We need to buy, verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be truly rich. I added that word there. True riches rather than earthly wealth. Pure raiment instead of the filthy rags of our own righteousness. We need to have our eyes anointed with eye salve so that we can have a clear spiritual vision by genuine materials from Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4 speaks of Paul's desire. I'm sorry, verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul's desire was to have those genuine materials from Jesus Christ, true righteousness. Another remedy for the condition of lukewarmness is to accept the chastening of the Heavenly Father. We see that in verse 19 as well. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. In this case, He was rebuking and chastening to bring them to a point of repentance. But there is times in our lives when there is chastening simply so that we can be purified. We don't necessarily need to come to repentance. We are not in that type of condition. But it is there to purify us, the chastening of the Heavenly Father, to help us to grow, to deepen our relationship with Him. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You can just turn back a few pages to Hebrews 12 if you care to. I just love the picture here of the Heavenly Father dealing with His children. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And I just want you to note the outcome of the chastening of the Lord in verse 10, that we might be partakers of His holiness. In verse 11, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. The outcome of the chastening of the Heavenly Father. Another remedy, I believe, for this condition of lukewarmness is to provoke one another. And that is a quote from Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And this word provoke carries the thought of stirring up, to challenge. In other words, if you see symptoms in your brother's life, your sister's life, that maybe they are drifting into carelessness and into lukewarmness, that you would provoke or stir up or challenge. There's also the thought there of encouragement, to bring out the best in each other. And I ask you the question, do you have the freedom? I don't know you folks, but do you have the freedom in your congregation to stir each other up, to fan the flame of God's love in each other's lives? It is a remedy to this challenge of lukewarmness. Now I would like to just in closing look just a bit at the reward for the overcomer. The reward for the overcomer. Look at verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The reward for the overcomer, first of all, is eternally in the presence of our Savior. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me. That thought of with me, the presence of our Savior. Can you imagine after traveling through this cold, dark world and battling this problem of lukewarmness, this problem of the choking cares of this world, to be eternally in the presence of our Savior? Another reward for the overcomer is eternally victorious, and that is indicated by the words, sit with me in my throne. Someone who is in a throne is a victor, a ruler, a king. And Jesus says here, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, eternally victorious. And maybe the most important is we will be eternally free from the threat of cooling off. This evening, regardless of where we are on our journey, whether we're newborn babes in Christ or whether we are mature saints, we face this challenge, and let us keep our love for Christ alive and our hearts fervently aflame with our love for Him. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.